Look, what this video has demonstrated is that very serious human rights abuses continue right up to the present time in West Papua, despite the fact that Indonesia is largely reforming and democratizing its military, isn't, and it continues to perpetrate the sorts of practices that gave it such a bad name under the Suharto regime.
Yeah, I don't want to go into too much detail about the video. You'll find the link on the internet. Why hasn't it changed, Damien Kingsbury? This is something we've talked about in the past.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Look, I should just point out that I think the full video actually shows two men being tortured. One of them was a priest, and I've subsequently had a report that both were taken away and murdered after that video was shot. So it's just worth keeping that in mind. Now, why hasn't this changed is a very good question. The Indonesian military has been very reluctant to reform over the period of Indonesia's democratisation. They have kicked and screamed against the reform process. There has been some reform, particularly in the centre, if you like, of Indonesia, in Java and places like that. But out in the edges, in places like West Papua in particular, they really don't want to give up their hold on the place. West Papua provides is the single largest source of wealth for Indonesia, from the mines, the gas fields and so on, logging. And the military uses it as a principal source of its own illegal income. And you might be aware that the Indonesian army funds itself largely from illegal sources, not from government sources. And they don't want to lose this, because if they lose this, obviously they will be economically weakened and a lot of senior officers will lose a very lucrative stream of income. So what they do is they actually provoke West Papuans into responding and then claim that there's a separatist movement going on. Now, there is obviously a claim to separatism in West Papua,
yep.
but there's also a very strong move now to negotiate with the government in Jakarta to try to find some middle way forward, which doesn't include independence, but includes a very much better arrangement than currently exists. And the TNI don't want this. They know they'll lose out very badly. The numbers will be cut very heavily. They will have to clean up their act. There will be some sort of international monitoring there. And that's the last thing they want to see happen. So they continue to try to provoke the situation in order to get a response to ensure that this process can't proceed.
So why do we still engage militarily in training with the TNI and CAPASSIS? I mean, the US too had softened its stance on this issue as well.
Yeah, look, in terms of the US position, it hasn't quite taken the final step yet, but is expected to do so soon. Having said that, there's a great deal of protest in America about this, and the United States believes that it's in a much stronger position relative to Australia to be able to deal with these issues up front. Australia's position is that we want to maintain a good relationship with Indonesia, and I think that is important, and we do need to be able to do that. But the question is, do we do that at any price, or do we do that without having some caveats around it? Now, military-to-military relations are normal between friendly countries, and they say that countries that train together don't go to war against each other, so I guess that's an important consideration. But given the role of the Indonesian military in a litany of human rights abuses, massacres, torture, institutionalised, these sorts of problems being institutionalised in the very DNA of the Indonesian military, leaves us to think that perhaps this is an organisation that we need to have a critical distance from, and we don't. And I think it reflects essentially on the, if I can use such a blunt word, on the gutlessness of the Australian government, not just this government, but of preceding governments, and on the timidity of our own Department of Foreign Affairs when it comes to making hard decisions about what we can and can't do in places like Indonesia.
Of course, the issue of compensation arises as well. Why can't individuals within the Indonesian military be sued? But I guess these are very complex issues, Damien Kingsbury.
Look, it's a great idea. Getting an Indonesian soldier into court for murder, where they've been clearly indicted, is extraordinarily difficult. It rarely results in convictions, and where it does, it results in relatively minor sentences. So for an individual to try to take the TNI to court, or an individual of the TNI to court to sue them, it would be to give oneself a death sentence. I think I you can't put it any more plainly than that. It would be suicidal to do that in Indonesia. They really would not take that very well at all. If we had a clean judicial system, an independent judicial system, if the TNI could somehow be controlled or restrained, yes, of course, then that might be possible. And indeed, it might then be possible to actually see cases being brought against the Indonesian military, both individually and institutionally, for its history of very serious human rights abuses. But so far, I mean, take, for example, the events of East Timor in 1999. Only one person's ever been convicted of that, and that person was not a member of the Indonesian military.
And look, that's a very important point, because it raises the question of why it is so important to tackle human rights abuses. Had the Indonesians and the Kapasis been taken to account over the abuses in East Timor, would we be seeing the ongoing abuse today?
The short answer is no. I think that if we had a proper process whereby the Indonesian military was held to account for events in East Timor, we would be seeing a very different situation in West Papua today for two reasons. One is that it would serve as a distinct object lesson to the TNI, and they would be very much more circumspect about how they behave, because they would know that they could be taken up on it. The second thing is that had there been some sort of trials or prosecutions for the events in Timor, many of the officers and indeed the soldiers who are currently in West Papua wouldn't be there, because they came straight from East Timor.
Yeah, that's right.
They went straight from East Timor. The commanding officer in West Papua was a senior officer in East Timor in 1999.
Mm. What's the way forward, Damien Kingsbury, in your view? Is there a way forward?
Well, there is, but it's going to require political will within Jakarta on the part of the President, Yudhoyono, and the Parliament, the Indonesian Parliament. And it's really about saying it's time to get this sorted out. Indeed, as happened in Aceh, that they need to sit down and negotiate a political way forward. And that way forward would include a clean and honest system that doesn't persecute the people of West Papua, that actually gives them a say in their own affairs and some control over their own affairs, which reduces the military and police presence in West Papua and creates a genuine autonomy within Indonesia. I think realistically that is the way forward. That's possible, but the President Yudhoyono at the moment is struggling just to stay afloat. So whether or not it happens on his watch is now a moot point. I think the real question is who will follow Yudhoyono as president, and whether they will be prepared to pursue this matter. It will depend very much on who that individual is and whether they're as reform-minded as Yudhoyono has been.
And critical to that will be finding a way to break that that link of the way the military are funded, and breaking that link to government.
And the links that they have to in terms of supporting or not supporting presidential candidates. So it'll need to be a presidential candidate who's not beholden to the TNI.
Professor Damien Kingsbury, good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Professor Damien Kingsbury from the School of International and Political Studies at Deakin University, and he's an expert on those issues in Indonesia and Southeast Asia.